angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
Sometimes the heroes, the champions in our lives, are the ones who look the least like champions. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. We're in the middle of a four-week series on two important new books, one about reaching the millennial generation and another about how we make the best use of the gifts that we've been given. And sometimes making those gifts available to others is not as glamorous as you might think. Joining us on the panel this week is the best-selling author of several important books that we featured here on Skywatch TV in the past, the author of Redeemed Unredeemable, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, and Radicals, Donna Howell.
Hi.
Donna. The author of a book on how to reach the generation that is leaving the church in droves right now, the book Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox, Allie Anderson.
Hi.
And the author of the best-selling book Time Bomb. And the focus of this week's discussion is new book, Everyday Champions. We welcome Joe Horn.
Hey, Derek. How are you doing? Joe, thank you.
The book Everyday Champions, you know, in I think many Christians' minds, we may be thinking that we're talking about, you know, the champions of the faith, of, you know, like Abraham and David and, you know, Peter and Paul and so on. But in your book, these champions could look a little bit different, a little more... well, almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, so in my life, there were things that influenced me greatly in the spiritual realm. I had an experience when I was 9 years old that opens the book. It was the one and only time in my life where I believe I received a legitimate touch from the Holy Spirit. I've always looked back and I've always known that that was a real encounter with the Holy Spirit where I literally, you know, lost control of my body for just a split second. And the reason I've always looked back and I've known that that was a real experience is because circumstantially, being 9 years old, I wasn't even mature enough in my faith to understand, you know, how to fake it or what being slain in the spirit, so to speak, is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. It just happened. And I write about it in the first chapter. But then through decades and decades of, you know, challenge and growing, as we all do, and being in a situation that a lot of people I know are just not in, my father being a best-selling author, getting to kind of work, if you want to call it, the underbelly of glamorized church, being able to work behind the scenes with some of the largest names in Christianity, being able to work in some of the largest organizations that people are very familiar with that I will not name by name right now, mm-hmm. At the highest levels, having the opportunity to see what legitimate manifestations of the Holy Spirit look like versus the ones that are more man-made and concocted, the benefits and the fruits that follow the ones that are real, mm-hmm. and the damage and the devastation that follows the ones that are totally phony, totally concocted. And as I grew, I began to realize that the church and a lot of Christians kind of have a fascination with some of the more sensational gifts of the Spirit. When we think of the term gifts of the Spirit, everybody immediately goes to the obvious ones in 1 Corinthians 12, right, 8 right. through 10. You know, the gifts of tongues and interpretations, healing, miracles. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, and I was one of them at one time, are attracted to those gifts because if they can unlock them, think of the power that they
wield. It's like having a superpower.
That's right. That's right. A real-life superpower, which then diminishes the moments where God does, like when I was 9, truly reach out and touch people for His own reasons, for His own purposes. And often the results aren't obvious at the time. I would spend a lifetime wondering why God touched me at 9, just for the purpose of landing me horizontally. It was over so fast. But I realize now, after the decades and decades of being exposed to both religion and ministry, that He did it so that I would always have a basis of comparison, some real experience with the Holy Spirit that would hold me through all those years of, you know, I think men have kind of tormented the passages for long enough. I'm not sure. I know that God's capable of moving like that, but I'm not sure if He does it very often anymore in our modern church. But I would become at the tip of the edge of pessimistic, and then I would remember that day when I was 9, where he really did touch me. Now, he really does. He really does. Some of this can be genuine. It kind of kept me from going full-on pessimistic. But the gifts that people tend to gravitate towards, the ones that are, you know, more sensational or the obvious ones, they're very glamorous and attractive on the surface. We then overlook, or we completely misunderstand, some of the most important gifts that are in the Bible. It's like we just cherry pick the ones that we think will give us this inflated sense of superpower. But the ones in my life that had way more value in terms of affecting my course for good were on full display by the people that had the gift of helps, the gift of mercy, the gift of governments. These are in part in Corinthians, but also in Romans, but they're completely overlooked. I mean, when was the last time you heard a sermon on the gift of helps? What is that? Mm. And then when we do talk about helps, we don't fully understand what it even means. The Greek word for helps is antelemsis or antelambano, which literally means a laying a hold of. So we think of the word helps, we think, oh, he's really helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really a nice guy. He was helpful. He got the door for me. He carried my groceries. What a nice guy. Isn't he helpful? Mm-hmm, that's cute. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not diminishing that. If God has called you to be helpful in those ways, and if that's your gifting, then the reward in heaven is going to be spectacular, and the lives that you've already affected are innumerable. However, if that's all we think that the gift of help means, we're only scratching the very tip of the mm-hmm. iceberg. So just mm-hmm. one example of the kind of gifts that people operate in constantly and may not even know it, which then stifles their ability to fully embrace that gift and maximize its value in kingdom work, or they're not even aware that they're operating in a Holy Spirit God-given gift in the first place. So I just want to tell you, look, the gift of helps is so much more than what we've made it. Hmm. Christians tend to have the sliding scale of value. We ignorantly place, if this was a level 1 over here and this is a level 10 in terms of kingdom work. Level 1, you know, you get started in ministry, maybe you sweep the floors. Maybe you wipe the windows of the church or the school, or you donate some time to the community. But if you're a level 10, if you really want to see big time kingdom work, you're going to pastor a mega church. You're going to drive a big car. You're going to have all the power and the success that those positions afford you. And if you're somewhere in between, you know, it's cute that you tried. But if you really want to be effective, you got to go. And that is so biblically so far away from the way God views what he's commissioned us to do and the currency by which it yields. So when we look at gifts like helps and we completely overlook them, what is the first thing you scream when your life hits crisis?
Right.
Yeah.
What is the first? Help! Mm. You don't care where it comes from. Mm-hmm. You get in a car wreck, help! You need help right now. Mm-hmm. The gift of help is not a it makes things more convenient gift.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
The gift of helps is literally the church cannot survive without it gift.
Mm. It's a rescue.
Yeah, it's literally a rescue. If you look at Mary when she's pregnant with Jesus, she spoke about this same help when she was praising the Lord for rescuing the world. We read in Luke 1:54, and I'm going to read this for you. He hath helped Antelambano, there's that word again, his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. So God himself becomes the helper in this context, putting on the full display his own gifting. Hmm. And yet we turn it into, well, he's cute. He got the door for me. That's got to be what helps us. And the book, Everyday Champions, it goes through all of the gifts of the Spirit in the same way, where we really highlight a lot of the power and a lot of the meaning that people are out there actively right now taking for granted in these little ways where we say, look, if these are your areas of gifting, you can forget about the sliding scale with a big car and the big megachurch. If you're operating in the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has ordained you to operate in, don't take for granted how vast the kingdom has been expanded by what you're doing every day and the lives that you've already affected.
So, Joel, what does this look like? I mean, how has this manifested in your life with examples of these everyday champions?
Right.
And what did they do that impacted you?
When I was ages 9 through about 15, I was under the tutelage of a man named Commander Dave Horde. Now, this is a guy that for over 40 years has been the head commander of Outpost 64 in Gresham, Oregon. At different churches, even after they've merged, he has stayed with that program and continued to mentor little boys while I was one of them. Now what? Commander Dave? What was he, the commander in the army? No. I don't know if you're familiar with the program. Many Assemblies of God people would be familiar with a program called Royal Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically, think of Boy Scouts, only a Christian version of it. We teach how to build campfires, survival skills, but we also do Bible verses, and you have to remember Bible verses to get little beads and stuff. I was always the kid, if I had a totem that had like one bead, because my willingness to do anything that required learning was next to zero. If there had been beads for being obnoxious and not paying attention, I would have been on the front page of every magazine of the Royal Ranger, you know, every year, like every time. But when I was a kid, and this is no fault of my parents, again, I've said in the first program on the subject of everyday champions that my parents were phenomenal. I'm evidence for all you parents out there that are doing everything correctly with your children that you can just have kids with OCD, ADHD, behavioral problems, rebellion. You just keep praying them through it. Pray them through it. Don't give up. Because I was that kid. My dad was a pastor. I was the pastor's kid. I was supposed to set the example. And I had people in the church that would hound me for that. Now, it wasn't stuff he was aware of. And when I talked to him about it, he would deal with it accordingly. But I was also super obnoxious. So I think sometimes there were gray areas. Was he being obnoxious, or was this deacon in the church just being hard on Joe because he was supposed to set the example and be perfect? But I got terrible grades as a kid, and we'll talk about some of my school teachers if we get time in this program, if not the next, that also played a role. But here I am. I'm struggling academically. I'm struggling to listen. I am that kid that you beg patience for. I'm the kid that ends up in the hall. I'm the one at level 10 that's reaming off the walls the minute you children search teachers out there, you know the kid. I was that kid. You know what I'm saying, the school teachers. I was the kid. I was in the hall. I was getting referrals. I was getting detention. I was getting terrible grades. And despite no matter how many times people would talk to me about the importance of education and whatever, all I was hearing was Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. All I cared about was running and playing and being obnoxious and doing, you know, cartoon impersonations and voiceovers in my head and all of this stuff, right? And the reason I'm telling you this is because you have to understand where I was coming from at the time so that then you understand how profound these champions were in my life. Commander Dave Horde, Wednesday nights, we'd come in, Royal Rangers, and Dave would call you a champion. He would build you up in the most gracious of ways. The man was just one of the most perfect examples I've ever seen in a human being, showing you what Christ-likeism actually looks like.
Hmm.
You would come in and, Joe, you're a 10. You're a real champion. And he would talk like that, just at the edge of a whisper. Everything about his countenance was to encourage you and to make you feel like you were larger than life. It didn't matter if you had any talents. It didn't matter if you were intelligent or you got good grades or if your behavior was a 10. It didn't matter. He was going to make you feel like a warrior. Joe, you have the voice of a lion. You're a champion. I'm not kidding you. This is like storybook stuff. This guy was the real deal. And what that did for me between ages of 9 through 15 is a slow kind of drip, 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 intravenous exposure of somebody apart from my parents, somebody external from my parents who reinforced them in making me believe that I could rise above my circumstances. So here I am in the public school system at times. My parents would also try homeschooling at times. We kind of did that off and on. They were exhausting all possibilities to get me engaged academically. Here's Dave in the background telling me that I'm a winner. I wasn't the only boy. Let me describe to you a Wednesday night service that would be about like all of them. One night, and I talk about this in the book, there was a little kid named Billy who came into the class. Billy was odorous, not to be crude, but Billy had mangy hair.
Mm.
He had holes in the tips of his shoes. You could tell that his parents probably did not have the money for all of the slick new shoes and all of the kind of personal hygiene emphasis at home that some of the wealthier families in the community might have had. But it didn't make any difference. Dave paid no attention to that stuff. There was never any politics in the class. Billy comes in and right at the onset, welcome to the class, Billy. Let's give Billy a nice Royal Ranger welcome. What do you say, fellas? Yay, Billy's here. And he kind of perking up. Well, this is probably not what he was getting at school. You can just imagine the cruelty at school.
Sure.
Was probably telling him, you know, you're dumb, your breath stinks, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter. In Dave's Outpost 64, all the boys had equal value and we were all champions. And he would ask you questions about the Bible story that we were learning that night after he knew that you knew the answer, because he'd hear you answer it four or five times in other contexts. And once he knew, then he'd ask, "Now, Billy, David slayed who?"
Mm-hmm.
"Goliath? That's right. Fellas, we got a scholar amongst us. Billy's one of the smartest kids I've ever seen." You know, this guy, what he did was, you can't put it into words. 40 years of this. This is a man whose name may never be known in the megachurch community. He's not a man that may ever be on television or drive a Cadillac. He's not a guy that will ever be mentioned at some big award ceremony, right? But when we get to the pearly gates and God asks us all for a balance, this is the kind of man I hope that many of us can say, I believe I at least hit 9 out of 10 in the example that Dave set for me when I was a Royal Ranger, because this is exactly what the gift of helps on display looks like. And Dave was operating in his supernatural Holy Spirit gift, and it was anointed. And that was why it wasn't just the words that he said, but it was the spirit behind it that thrusted these boys towards believing that they had value, believing that they really were 10 feet tall. And I was just one of the ones of gazillions over four decades of ministry that I know without a doubt that went through that outpost, 64 in Gresham, Oregon, whose lives will never be the same. And again, it's not that I didn't have phenomenal parents. It's just that sometimes we're hard-headed kids. That's why I'm talking to you parents out there that have kids that are, you know, you're telling them all the right things, but they're struggling. Sometimes it's wonderful to have people external from the family unit, like Ali talks about in Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox, who can be that big brother. So Everyday Champions is a mix of stories just like that for the purposes of showing you how difficult I was to manage as a kid, how far I had gotten in my spiritual walk, and how some of the champions really stood in the gap for me.
We'll talk a little bit more about how you can find or identify those, how to put those into play, some of these overlooked gifts of the Spirit, things that we don't even recognize as gifts of the Spirit, as we discuss the books Everyday Champions and Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox. We'll tell you how to get those books along with a three-volume set of... This is heavy theology, and I mean that literally, because you know these are, you could work out with these, but also work out your theological muscles as well. Strong, systematic theology in just a moment. And when we come back, we'll tell you how you might also win $10,000 from SkyWatch TV. All of that ahead on SkyWatch TV.
The harvest field is widening, and we have an unprecedented opportunity to reach a lost generation during what may be our final years here on Earth. SkyWatch TV is proud to announce the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection. This unbelievable collection includes Everyday Champions, where you'll discover the most overlooked spiritual gifts in the Bible. Learn to identify and operate in your own supernatural, God-given gifting. Discover what Paul actually meant when he wrote about the uncomely parts of the body of Christ. You'll meet real-life champions whose small investments equal huge contributions to the kingdom of God. And I personally share my experiences in both authentic and superficial religious institutions. In this timely collection, you'll also receive the Everyday Champions 4-week SkyWatch television series on DVD, including interviews with Ali Anderson, myself, Joe Horn, Derek Gilbert, Dr. Thomas Horn, and Donna Howell. But we're just getting started. You'll also receive Ali Anderson's new book, Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox, which is already being described as a definitive and urgent analysis regarding so-called unreachable millennials as key to the future of the church. You'll discover what devastating modern epidemics are sweeping our youth away from God, and what believers can do to intervene, how modern identity politics and economic stressors have robbed our youth of an opportunity to confront their destiny, and the real reason millennials are leaving the church, and what the body of Christ can do to reverse this trend before it's too late. This incredible collection also includes the Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox 13-week Teacher's Guide PDF on disc, perfect for small group discussion, church curricular use, teaching or preaching series, personal use or education. But we're still not done. At Skywatch TV, we are committed to reaching this generation with solid biblical teaching, which is why we're including free, that's right, free, the beautiful, classically oversized, Strong Systematic Theology 3-volume set. These large books are perfect for the researcher in your life and hold a retail value all by themselves of $150. Yours now for a limited time, absolutely free, when you order the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection. Sold separately, this huge assortment holds a retail value of $250. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Now's your chance to be part of what may be the greatest awakening the world has ever seen. Order the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection online now at the Skywatch TV store or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Please take advantage of our free mobile app. It's a way to download these programs straight to your smartphone or tablet. It's a free download, works on just about every mobile operating system. You'll find the link at our website, skywatchtv.com, where we've also got instructions and the rules for the biggest contest in Skywatch TV's history. We're giving away two grand prizes, $10,000 winner, two $10,000 grand prizes. All of the information there, skywatchtv.com. Look for the link that says contest or just type it in directly, skywatchtv.com/contest, and you'll find out all of that. We've also got 20 winners of shopping sprees at the Skywatch TV store. Again, all of that online at Skywatch TV store, skywatchtv.com/contest. We're talking with the authors of the new books, Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox, Allie Anderson, Joe Horn, author of Everyday Champions, and joining us on the panel, the author of the best-selling books, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy and Radicals, Donna Howell.
Hi.
Let me toss one to you ladies, because both of you kind of addressed the issue of how we reach a new generation and what this will look like when this upcoming generation, millennials, young people, actually get reached through these gifts that Joe writes about. Just the gift of just reaching out, being real. That's something you talked about last week, Allie. Mm-hmm. What do some of these gifts look like? How might we be real and reach the supposedly unreachable millennials? And then, Donna, take it from there and what that's going to look like when that happens.
Well, one thing that I was thinking about while he was talking about Dave Hoard, who I actually briefly talked about in the book as well, in my book, I saw less of him because he was in Royal Rangers and I was a teenage girl at the time, but I did see him here and there in ministerial settings with children, and he was so good and he was so kind, so I wrote about him a little bit too. But the thing that I was thinking about is he's talking about the impact that this man made over four decades of just being an encourager and somebody who believed the best about these children. And I'm over here thinking, we call the millennials the unreachable generation, the me generation, but we are forgetting that they are also the most fatherless generation. And so what an opportunity that this man for four decades would give so much encouragement and honestly just a positive role model and just love to say, I believe the best about you, to these young men who may never hear that because they don't have a dad at home to say
That's right.
You're talking about how you have parents at home and it was good to have an external man who would say nice things to you and encourage you, but then for some of these kids, it was the only one they had.
That's right.
So what a difference that man made. And so that's what was kind of resonating to me as you were talking, as I was thinking about the labels and how one of the labels we forget in all of our picking on millennials and calling them, you know, toxic and chronic disappointment and all these mean things that we say is that they are also a very fatherless generation.
That's
and
right.
So a man like that, you men out there who have your grace gifts and who can be encouraging and show love and believe the best in these young men and then also for the, you know, ladies and the little girls, this is so necessary.
Mm.
And that's how you reach the millennial.
Mm. And Donna, in your book, Radicals, you talk about what this next generation might do if we actually reach them and encourage them to go out just through just being there and telling them that they're valued.
Well, you know, when I worked on Final Fire, mm-hmm. is the next Great Awakening right around the corner,
right,
back to back with Radicals. And between the two, I was able to understand a lot of the societal symptoms that occurred just before every historical Great Awakening ever has. And see, I believe that God spoke to me, we're probably not looking at a revival. We're probably looking at a Great Awakening, but maybe not even that.
Mm-hmm.
We might be looking at a reformation, something that is so intrinsically reforming about the church that we haven't seen anything like it in 500 years since the time of Martin Luther. Hmm. You might be looking at a moment where the radicals break from the apathetics, and we're not going to be yesterday's church anymore. It's not. We can either cling to our traditions and our Xerox theology, as I like to say on Chalk Talk. We deal with that one a lot, Xerox theology. It's, well, Daddy said this is what this verse meant. Well, Grandpa said three or four generations, society says this is what this verse means. Nobody knows what that verse means. Nobody really knows what these grace gifts are. Now, we always want to talk about speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, and miracles, and all of that. Those are wonderful. We're going to see them, and we're going to see them again in use very soon. Mm-hmm. But the grace gifts are the backbone mm-hmm. of God's Spirit moving in a familial connection to people. And see, that's where you get Joe showing you what are we missing about these grace gifts. You talk about Dave Horde. I knew the guy too. And here's the funny thing about him. He was clearly operating in the gift of exhortation. And I love what Joe's book does. I have to say this real quick. Joe's book shows that God not only gives these gifts, he operates in them.
That's right.
God himself uses these gifts. Hmm. The Greek word, Joe, I learned this from Joe, the Greek word paraklesis is exhortation, but the Holy Spirit is what in Greek?
The paraclete.
God himself gives the gifts, operates in the gifts, utilizes the gifts, empowers us to use the gifts so that we can then turn around to the unreachable generation and make the great awakening that everybody's talking about right now take root and spread like a brush fire, but with proper theology and interpretation of scripture, because there are the mentors in the group as well.
Right.
So we need to have everybody connect and do exactly what Jesus Christ did when we are questioned. What's the most important part of the church today? What's the most important commandment? What do you think about this verse? We can go back to that moment when Jesus Christ said, the greatest of all is these. You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you love your neighbor as you love yourself.
I think Everyday Champions is probably one of the most encouraging books that Defender has ever put out. If you know somebody in ministry, if you know somebody thinking about being in ministry, if you know somebody that's teetering or is asking themselves, Lord, where do I start? Where do I fit into this? I think Everyday Champions is going to help them navigate that self Q&A and walk them step by step through some of those answers.
And then by doing that, then we have the tools to reach the millennial group and unscramble the millennial paradox. The pieces fit together. It really is that simple and that profound. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. In fact, as Paul said, if you do that, you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you fulfilled the whole law, all of the law. It's that simple,
right,
and yet that profound. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Skywatch TV.